That's great. Well, welcome back to The Fisherman's Faith. Last week we started a series based on the first epistle of Peter, which we're calling The Fisherman's Faith. And this does say part one on the screen because we didn't finish part one last week. Somewhere I took the wise choice that after only 3 points of eight, it was time to stop. So this message is called Peter's World, and we're talking today really about from verse 10 onwards. I just wanted to recap a little bit what we've said about this. We've said that Peter, who is a great man of faith, you know, everyone talks about Peter denied Jesus, but Peter, and everyone talks about Peter as the one who sank, but he was also the man who walked on water. You know, we need to remember that. He walked on water before he sank, and Jesus pulled him up. Everybody wants to knock Peter, but actually Peter was a great man of faith, and there's a lot to say in this epistle. So last week we talked about who was it that wrote it, and we said it was Peter, and we talked about when it was written and to whom it was written. And we said that last week that Peter's world is all about Jesus. We said Peter's world is all about salvation. We said Peter's world is all about choice. And today I want us to start by talking about Peter's world is all about privilege. Privilege is a word that we often struggle with because we assume some people are more privileged than others. But what Peter says here in verse 10 is this: concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the messianic sufferings and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, concerning things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels desire to look into these things. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see pictures of little fluffy angels with wings on, I get a bit irate. I get a bit angry. I've never seen an angel that looked like that, and I have seen a few. But you know, angels are not fluffy little cherubs with wings. Angels are warrior beings. They are called of God to intercede for us in all types of physical, practical, and spiritual ways. And we know that the angels are here for our benefit, as well as serving God. Now, it is interesting, beyond belief, that when Peter is talking about our salvation, he says about these matters, angels long to look into these things. So we're not talking fluffy little chubby cherubs with little wings. We're talking about powerful spiritual warriors. They want to understand the salvation that's been given to us. Have you realized what a great salvation you have been given? This is a privilege. You are privileged. It isn't women over 50 who've got a special rate on their insurance policy, if you've seen the TV advert. It is us, the people of God. We are privileged. Our salvation is a great thing that has been announced by angels who still don't really get it, who desperately want to understand what it is that God has done for us, his people. Peter is making a number of points here, rapid fire. He's saying the prophets looked forward to it. What was Isaiah doing? Isaiah was looking forward to the coming of the suffering servant, he who would be crucified. He talks about it in Isaiah 53. And throughout Isaiah, we get all these messages. Isaiah is just one of the prophets who was looking forward to Jesus. Moses looked forward to Jesus. You know, suffering is something that Peter talks about here as being part of the messianic mission, something about the mission of Jesus was about suffering. Suffering was always destined to be part of the Messiah's journey. The cross wasn't a horrible mistake that God turned round for good. The cross was the plan. The cross was plan A. Plan A worked. Satan got so messed up, he didn't realize he was helping. But Jesus suffered as part of God's plan. And it says here, so was Jesus' glory. The glory has been given. That was also part of the messianic journey. Peter also says, you too are on that journey. Now, what does that mean? It means we're on a journey to glory as Jesus was on a journey to back to glory. But it also tells us we are on a journey that involves suffering. Our brothers and sisters in the Middle East today understand that. We, here in England, we don't quite get it. Some of us had to get up out of bed this morning and it was so hard. Some of us have had issues this week that you would not believe. Somebody backed their car over our bike wheel and you wouldn't believe it, would you? You know, some of the things we have to deal with are real issues, but in perspective, they are nothing compared to what our brothers and sisters are facing throughout the world today. They are part of your journey too. And our brothers and sisters' suffering is something that we should share with them. These Old Testament prophets served you, Peter says. You know, you might say, well, I'm not into reading Ezekiel. I don't like Jeremiah. He cries too much. You might have all these comments to make, but these prophets served you. I'm reading Jeremiah in the mornings at the moment. And you know what? Jeremiah is serving me. He is serving me wonderfully. I think it's amazing that the angels want to take a peek this morning. They want the privilege of understanding. I put a photo on the screen there because that photo explains exactly what it means when it says angels desire to look into these things. The wording used means the same thing as a groom who desires to see his bride coming down the aisle. He hasn't seen, if he's traditional, hasn't seen the dress, and it's a surprise, and he wants to look back. Now, I remember doing this. I remember. And I didn't look all the way around to start with. How I thought I was going to see anything. But I remember doing. And then in the end I went and I saw her coming. And you know, it's that privilege that God wants you to understand today. Our world, Peter's world, the world of someone of faith, like the fisherman of faith that wrote this epistle, he wants you to understand angels want to take a quick peek at the bride. Who's the bride? We are the bride. Angels want to have a look and understand it. How amazing that that is the nature of our salvation. Peter's world is all about discipleship. Now, if you read this section that Bill read to us this morning, it says, verse 13, get your minds ready for action. Now, some of us are on the start of courses of study. We need to get our minds ready for action. But all of us need to get our minds ready for action to walk this journey, this pilgrimage with the Messiah, to walk with Jesus. We need to prepare our minds. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to set our hope on the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. He also tells us to be holy. Now, holiness is one of those words that the church has almost forgotten what it means. And the world outside the church doesn't have any concept of it. Holiness is actually one of the great key words of Wesleyan Methodism. Did you know that? The Methodists preached holiness. But Peter is preaching holiness today. And he says that we ought to discipline our lives to live our pilgrimage on this earth the way God wants us to live. Peter is saying that we should commit our lives to God in such a way that we deny our natural desires in favour of what God's kingdom wants. Matthew puts it this way. He said that Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Now, that's enough for us. But there's a promise that comes with that. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well. What are these things? The food, the clothes, the things you need. All of these things will be added to you as well if you seek first the kingdom of God. And when we seek first what God wants, and God wants his kingdom, that way we actually start to understand what holiness is. Do you know what? Holiness is not being some perfect goody-goody. Holiness is committing your life to God. John Mosey, who many of you have heard, when I was 10 years old at a Bible study, he explained to me what holiness meant. He took a glass of water and he said, "This glass is my glass. Nobody is to drink out of this glass other than me." And he had took a little sip then, I think. He said, "This glass is for my personal use. I don't want to find any of you borrowing this glass. I don't want to find any of you drinking out of this glass. This glass is for my use. You see, I am now declaring this glass holy unto me." And when we are holy, we are making a declaration over our own lives. "God, I am for you. I am for you." You see, you may say, "Yeah, but I've got my bucket list to go through. I've got this I want to do. I've got that I want to do." You know, God does not want to spoil your fun. God does not want you to miss out on adventures in life. But God does want you. And if we put him first, it's amazing what we will also get out of life. But you see, Peter's world is a world of discipleship. His faith is a faith that requires discipleship. Peter is stood there preaching by, I was going to say by text, but that doesn't mean writing these days, does it? Maybe Peter's texting us all. But Peter is writing this message to us. He's saying, "Be holy, be disciples. I'm a disciple. Be like me, be a disciple." Disciples are disciplined ones. That's what disciple means. We follow Jesus. So, as I said to you last week, Peter wrote this epistle to people who have a temporary residence here. And if you are like me and you only have a temporary residence here, then what Peter is saying, conduct yourselves in reverence, in holiness, during your temporary residence. Peter's world is all about the Christ. The Christ is the Greek word, Messiah is the Hebrew word. They both mean anointed one, or literally smeared with oil. Smeared with oil. That's what they did when they anointed someone for service, when they anointed someone for a task, for a purpose. They smeared them with oil. And Christ, Messiah, Jesus, is God's anointed one, anointed for purpose. The purpose is to bring salvation to you and to me. And it is quite clear in verses 18 to 21 that this is what Peter's world is all about. It's all about the Christ. "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." The Christ has impacted your world. You are forgiven this morning. I don't care what you did last night. Today, you are forgiven when you come to Christ. When you say, God, I'm sorry, you're forgiven. You're forgiven like that. You're forgiven in an instant. God forgives you. Doesn't mean you can carry on doing it. It means you are forgiven so you can now make yourself holy to God. Do you know what? God is not a slot machine. He's not someone you come to when you've sinned and you put something in the slot, even, dare I say, in the offering box. It is not that which makes you holy. It is the ministry of Christ to you. It is the ministry of Christ that redeems your life from the pit. And let me just say to you, there is a pit. And you need your life redeeming from it. We need our lives ministering to by the Christ. He talks about a lamb who is without defect and blemish, the Christ. He talks about the lamb's destiny before the world began to bring redemption to you. And he talks about this being revealed in the end times. Just in case you are confused by any left behind books, let me explain this to you. The end times began with the ministry of Jesus on the cross. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, these are the end times. And these people speaking in tongues that you can hear of and prophesying, they are in evidence of that. Look in the book of Joel. This happens in the end times. We are living in the end times and have been living in them for 2,000 years. The end times are not something that is about to come upon us when a man who has a little badge on his lapel saying Antichrist takes over. We are living in the end times, the times in which the gospel of Jesus is going forth. And these times are all about the Christ. Let me tell you, these times are not about a country in the Middle East called Israel. These times are not about the beast or about the false prophet. These times are about Christ. And that is the message of the church. By placing your faith and hope in Jesus, they are also in God. Peter makes this strong connection. You know, you look at most of the apostles, most of the New Testament writers, and they'll make a strong connection between Jesus and God. But Peter does it here in verse 21. He says, you put your faith in God, your faith in Jesus, your hope in Jesus, and you are putting them in God. Don't be afraid to talk about the name of Jesus in public. Do you know what? We can talk about God and no one knows we've got a capital G. We could just be talking about little gods. But we are not talking about little gods, any god will do. That's sort of inspired by a song from a musical. Any god will do. No, it's not. Anyway, it's about Jesus. Jesus is the only God that will do. Peter makes this really clear. You need faith in Jesus. God has given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to God. There is no other name, Acts tells us, given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Peter's world is all about the Christ. Peter's world is all about love. Verse 23, love one another earnestly with a pure heart. I don't mean sloppy kisses. I mean show that you care. You know, love is so shrink-wrapped, homogenized, it's so processed in our world today. But Peter, the fisherman, is calling to us, the church, to demonstrate our love one for another. Will you do that today? Peter says in verse 22, out of obedience, you have prepared yourself for this. Hang on a minute here. Which of us has prepared ourselves to love the church? Have you? Did you spend some time before you came to church this morning, preparing yourself to love people? That's the question. That's the fisherman's faith. That's Peter's world. Is it our world? My last point today is Peter's world is all about eternity. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower drops off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached as the gospel to you. You know, the seed that has been sown into you is imperishable. What am I saying? I'm saying this. The word of God that has been deposited in your heart through your ear, mixed with the faith that comes by hearing the word of God, that word is imperishable. It cannot be lost. It cannot be taken away. You can refuse it. You can rebel against it. But it cannot be lost because it is here forever. You know, this word has been preached. It's imperishable. Everything around you will grow old and die. Some things around you may not even live long enough to grow old. They will die. But the word of God will not die. And Peter, who is writing to people at the beginning of Nero's persecution, as I told you last week, Peter is encouraging them. Listen, around you, people are dying. But the word of God endures forever. This gospel endures forever. The power of God endures forever. Your heavenly life, your eternal life endures forever. These are the things which we should plant our hope firmly in. You might have had a rubbish week. I could have used an almost expletive then to make a point. But there isn't any need. You can fill that in yourself. You may have had great pressure this week. You may have undergone stuff this week which nobody wants to undergo. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Your salvation will endure forever. You will be kept and you will live with Jesus forever. Whether you are in Syria or Iraq or parts of the world today where you're getting beheaded just for going to church, or whether you're having a nice middle class lifestyle in England, where we all do nice things and we collect nice things to give away at Harvest Festival, which we should. It isn't just about getting by. It isn't about can we live enough through to today? Can we eat enough so we can watch Downton tonight? Life is bigger than Downton. It is. Someone counsel that man afterwards. Seriously. The gospel is bigger than all of this. You know something? I was thinking this morning. Sounds a rarity, doesn't it? But 1977, I came here as a student. Not to this building, but I came to York as a student. And in 1977, I made a choice. I decided that I would make a new start with God at university. I got a poster that said, Jesus is the light of the world, from the old Barbican bookshop. Remember, it shut last year. And I stuck it on my door. And that first week in, when a drunken girl knocked on my door at 2 a.m. and I got out of my bed in my pajamas and I opened the door and I said, what is it? And she said to me, Can I come in? I made a decision on the moment, and I shut the door in her face, and I said no. Do you know what? I thank God today that I made that choice. Because I've spent 31 years happily married to my wife. And I'm so glad for those choices. And I'm not just aiming this at you students. This is a choice we all make today. Do we put our hope and faith in Jesus our Lord? Let's bow our heads. We too must have a fisherman's faith. It's absolutely vital. It's all about Jesus. It's all about salvation. It's all about good choices. It's about privilege. It's about discipleship. It's about the Christ. It's about love. It's about eternity. Today, I want to encourage you, if you have never made that relationship work with Jesus, if you've never, ever committed your life to him, today, I want you to pray this prayer in your heart after me. Father God, I want to know you and your Son Jesus and your Holy Spirit. Forgive my failings, wash me clean, come into my life and help me refocus on what matters to you. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in my life from today onwards. Come into my life today and walk with me from this day forwards in Jesus' name. And for all of us, let's all consider this prayer together. Lord, help me today to exercise a fisherman's faith, to choose rightly, and to focus my life on Jesus the Christ, and to demonstrate in holiness his love, to walk on water by walking on the word of Jesus, to be received back by a Christ who loves and forgives. Amen. This morning, if you need to talk to someone, if you want personal prayer, come and see me afterwards. But other than that, stay with us for a cuppa and some cake, and we're just going to have one song to finish with, and we'll just lift the roof as we raise our hearts. Everyone looked up. As we raise our hearts to Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for listening.